Well, good morning, Harvest family. Good to see everyone this morning. Let's continue to pray for those that are still out and traveling, but it's good for us to be back. Looking forward to our services today, and we'll pick up again a little bit later in our service in the book of Jude as we continue to make our way through the epistles there and into the book of Revelations. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then our choir will sing for us. Father, we are so truly grateful for the privilege of being here in the house of God this morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you've given us. And Lord, help us not take for granted so many comforts that you've given us here, Lord. We've had padded seats, air conditioning room. Lord, it's just so wonderful to recognize and be reminded of the blessings the Lord has provided for us. Now, Lord, help us today to be grateful for the things which you provided. Help us put away the cares and concerns of the world. Help us to prepare our hearts and minds to worship you through the music this morning. Help us to be prepared to fellowship and to tune our hearts and minds into the preaching of the word later this morning. Father, again, we thank you for your provisions. We thank you for your goodness. And Father, we ask that you do what only you can do this morning in the hearts and minds of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
When the roll is called up.
you to come this morning is giving your tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving and obedience unto the Lord. The Lord has been good to us through our regular giving as well as our missions giving. I'm still excited about how wonderful the missions conference was, Bible prophecy was from Brother Fagali. Let me say this quickly before we pray. Things are heating up a little bit in the Middle East. Continue to pray. Brother Fagali still desires to get back there this year, so pray that some things work out there that he's able to go, but keep him in prayer for his safety. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on tithes and offering. Brother Leonard, please pray for us.
Father God, thank you so much for this Lord. Thank you for the sounds of music that must be sweet in your ears, Father. It is praise to our great God, and you are so worthy. None other is worthy of the praise that we offer, Father. And so we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And we especially now, as part of our worship service this morning, Father, want to give back a portion of what you've given to us this week. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your kindness shown toward us, Father. And we just honor you with our tithes and offerings, Father. And we ask that you accept it as a love offering to our great God, Father. Thank you for Jesus who made all of this even possible, Father. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Turn to number, children can be dismissed to Children's Church. We're going to turn to number 298. Now I belong to Jesus.
Old to see a father and son pray together. Amen. 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 Glad you're here this morning, and we'll go before the Lord in just a moment. I ask that you pray for me, of course, for the preaching of the word this morning, and we'll read our text a little bit later as I also pray for the men of our church as well as our men and families that are with us this morning. God has been so good to us. Let's join together and let's go before the throne of grace in prayer together. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts for a wonderful, holy, mighty God who's been so good to us as a church family here. But Father, we also still have needs, yet so often we're hesitant to ask when we are so blessed. But Lord, we need your help this morning. We ask that you'd help us to put away the cares and concerns that disturb us because of the things that are going on in our world today, the apostasy and lasciviousness that is rampant across our world. And most importantly, we're concerned about is our country, our city, our county right here in Arizona. Lord, help us to be mindful to pray for it, but not to let us discourage us or keep us from worship, from study, from prayer, for the benefiting of being joyful, the benefits that you have bestowed upon us. Father, please bless our men this morning and put a hedge about them. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Guard their hearts, their eyes, their ears, Lord, and their bridle their tongue, and help them to be godly men at home, at work. Lord, in the communities they live in, and of course right here at Harvest Baptist Church, help them to be the godly example for other men and younger men that are around them, and the young boys and girls that attend our service. Lord, help them to be a shining godly example before them. Father, I pray once again that you would just use them in a mighty way. And I thank you for their encouragement, their support of their pastor. Lord, how encouraging it is to pastor a church, to pastor a men who, without a doubt, I know that they love their pastor and his wife, Lord. And we are so grateful for that. Father, we thank you for our ladies here at Harvest, Lord, and their willingness and desire to serve you here. We pray that you would bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, Father. We ask your blessings upon, as well as upon our staff and teachers here. What a blessing it is for those who help in the nursery, the children's ministry, those who are security out in the parking lot and the facilities today, that we might be able to enjoy the service without worrying about what might be going on outside. And we praise you for their willingness to serve their church family in this capacity. Father, we thank you for our families that are here this morning, some that are visiting for the first time, some for the first time in a long time. We pray your blessings on them as well this morning, and help us collectively as a people here this morning, again, to put away the cares of the world. And Father, I pray there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may be discouraged, or that are struggling, or maybe who's gotten away from the Lord, knows that they're not where they could be or should be, would you gently speak to their hearts, Father, and pull them back to yourself this morning. And now, Father, once again, I ask you to help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Lord, help me to be obedient unto thee as I preach and proclaim the word of God this morning. May you be uplifted and glorified in all that is said and done. And we'll be careful to thank you and give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Before Miss Cheryl comes and sings for us this morning, let's read our text, Jude 1 and verse 1 and 2. And we covered the first portion of Jude 1 last week, and we'll pick up this morning Jude 1 and verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, a brother James, to them that are sanctified by the Father and preserved in heaven, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied.
You knew that he'd answer
you, Miss Cheryl. How long has it been? So we continue our study this morning in the book of Jude the servant. And last week, we made reference to every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ. And we talked about because believers are servants, and we talked about that last week. And we talked about believers are sanctified, and we spend a majority of our time there. And we'll go on a little further this morning because believers are preserved. Every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ because believers are preserved. And it says here in our passage, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And boy, what a blessing to know that security. And I really want to get cranked up here, but I need to step back in just a moment. I usually take the time on the first Sunday of a new book and go through kind of a highlight of the book as part of my introduction. I didn't do that last week. And I was reminded this morning I did something that I do not usually do because I was still kind of in a rest or vacation mode. And I made a mistake of looking at the headlines this morning. And the only thing that did was get my dandruff up and my blood pressure up. I don't need blood pressure medicine at all. All I got to do is just turn to the news and it'll get up pretty easily. And if I really want it to spike, I'll turn into CNN or MSNBC and then it'll be overkill. I need something to lower it. But anyway, I noticed in the news and it reminded me of the book of Jude. And Jude is just warming up some things as he's going to get to address some things later and we'll get to later. But he'll deal with apostasy. And the problem we have then, he was writing about, is the same problems that we have today. In the article that I scanned through this morning, and I couldn't help myself, I had to go back and read just a little. Then I thought, I'll read this later, maybe save it for a little later. And I think verse number 5 and verse number 6, we'll look at it a little bit closer as we get deeper into in the book of Jude. But the highlights basically were the challenges that are going on with our other denominational churches here in America and around the world, how they are making changes in one particular church, made a decision that, yes, a pastor needs to be married, but it doesn't matter if he's married to a man or a woman. And they accepted that. And then now they're going further, and they made a decision on whether that relationship needs to be monogamous or not. They're discussing that. Can you believe that? The pastoral leadership of a denomination. And I thought to myself, my soul, what is going on with the world today? And the bottom line is, as Jude is writing about, is the apostasy. And we'll get to that in the coming weeks. But we need to remind ourselves, and I think it will help us in that area if we'll remember who we are. We are servants. We belong to Him, and we talked about that last week. We are sanctified. We have been bought with a price. And this morning we'll go a little further. We are preserved. Jude says that the believer is preserved in Jesus Christ. Praise God. What a wonderful security the child of God has, knowing that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and I am kept for all eternity. But yet, there are some sincere Christians often ask if a saved person could ever be lost again. Could I be saved tomorrow and then Jesus leave me? See, unfortunately, many believe that and teach that a saved person can sin and become lost or lose what God has promised. But yet the Bible teaches that those who are truly saved, say, shall never perish. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You see, by believing in Christ, the Christian receives salvation that cannot be taken away or forfeited. Let me rephrase it in a more biblical way. The person who repents and acknowledges their sin and turns to Christ is saved for all eternity. It's not enough just to believe. The Bible says in James, the devils believe and tremble. It's that repentance is realizing your sinful condition, and he is reminding these believers that they are preserved, Jude is. This is not to say that a believer will not backslide. We talked about in Sunday school with a prodigal son. We'll talk more about it Tuesday with the men. Dear friends, when we get away from the Lord, that doesn't change relationship, but it changes fellowship. Fellowship is strained, but relationship is not. This is This is, again, not to say that we don't make mistakes or that we backslide or we get away from the Lord. Eternal security simply means that once an individual has repented of their sins, put their faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that finished work of the Lord, that they are sealed and saved forever. And Jude says they are preserved in Jesus Christ. There will never be a time from the day of salvation forward that we are not saved. You cannot lose your salvation. It cannot be taken away. You cannot give it up. You cannot send it away. You are saved and secure from all eternity. And just as we saw with the prodigal son, the relationship did not change. When the father looked off in the distance and saw, he recognized his son. The relationship didn't change, but the fellowship had been broken in their lives. Dear friends, you cannot lose your salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Consider those words or that phrase, everlasting life. Let me say it again. Ever, forever, lasting life in Christ. The Word of God is clear that the person who has trusted Christ as their Savior is preserved. They have everlasting life. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." See, the Bible does not say he that believeth on the Son will someday obtain eternal life or might have eternal life. See, God does not take back the gift that he gives. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 29. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." He makes no... Sure, God may grieve, but he doesn't change his mind about our salvation. The child of God has eternal and everlasting life the moment they repent and turn to Christ. When Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 that, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," we can believe it. When he says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out," we can believe him. When Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," in John 10, 29, we can take him at his word. Dear friends, Jude knew that his salvation was secure. As he writes to the church here, he's reminding them that you are preserved in Christ. Preserved in Christ, and that we are called, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Like Jude, every believer must stand against the wiles of the devil and the wickedness of the apostates. See, no child of God can be a great soldier and battle the enemy the way that we should unless they have complete assurance of their salvation. Think about that for a moment. Boy, what soldier wants to go out into battle without their battle buddy, without knowing that their troop, their platoon, their battalion is with them, their battery is with them? And if we're going to live in this world today and do somewhat of a spiritual warfare, isn't it good to know that you're saved and preserved in Christ? He, my captain, has provided the protection, and I may die in this life one way or the other, but I am preserved throughout all eternity, and heaven is my home. You see, the devil has used the false doctrine of falling from grace to take many out of the battle. But oh, why fight for a God that cannot secure me? Why do spiritual warfare with a God who can't keep me and secure me concerning my soul and my salvation? You see, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ because we are servants, we are sanctified, and dear friends, we are preserved. Isn't it wonderful to know that we are preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ? That relationship will not change. Again, the fellowship can be broken, but the relationship never, ever changes. I am His and He is mine. I am a son of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter or a child of God. That relationship does not change, though relationship can change. And the next, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ because believers are called, as Jude says. Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Salvation is a result of the call of God. The whole ministry of Jesus was calling sinners to repentance and salvation. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, John tells of Jesus biding the multitudes to come, or bidding the multitudes to come. He wants them to come to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 7:37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Praise God for the wonderful calling of our Savior. God says a great deal about this calling in Scripture according to the Bible. Christians have been called to many things. And before we go any further, let me remind you, God's desire is that all men would come to repentance. His call is for all men, though some will resist, some will reject, but yet His desire is to all come to repentance. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says that we are called for His purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we are called to fellowship with Christ. Oh, let me ask this morning, how is your fellowship with the Lord? How is your time spent with Him? How close is your relationship? How much more do you know about Him today than you did yesterday? Oh, how I loved how Brother Sam put it last week. I hope you caught it. He caught some of your attention real quick when he said, "I stopped reading my Bible." And then he had the dramatic pause. And then he said, "I started studying it." Oh, what a difference. I've said this multitudes of times, and I'll say it again. Don't make it a goal to read through your Bible through every year so you can check a box. Make a goal to study your Bible. Oh, you may read it through often, and that's a wonderful thing, but are you studying the Word? Especially those areas that might give you trouble in this world below. Study the Word. Ingest it. Savor it. This often, as I've mentioned before, with my girls are foodies, and some of friends of mine are convinced they're foodies, and they get it after their dad. I can't help it. When I sit down to eat, I don't just... I sit down, I cut up that steak or that chicken or that pork, or, man, I'm getting hungry. And I take a bite, and I, just savor it. Oh, how good it is. And I think of the Lord when He says, "Taste and see how good." Dear friends, is that what our Bible study and Bible reading is like? Do we savor it? Do we enjoy it? Because He's called us for His purpose. He's called us to fellowship, and the best way we can fellowship with Him is to savor His Word, savor the time in prayer that we have for Him. And then He's also called us to peace in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. Oh, how wonderful it is that God provides peace. He has called us to liberty in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13. He's called to a hope in Ephesians chapter 4. He's called us to a high calling in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. We're called to holiness in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. And dear friends, let me tell you something. That holiness part, though He has called us to, that's a difficult one. But it's not impossible. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He desires that we live a life of holiness before Him, a holiness before others as they observe our life. We are called to inherit a blessing in 1 Peter 3:9. We are called to eternal glory in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. All these callings that the Lord has upon the life of the believer. He calls all to repentance. And then those that come to Him, He has another calling for us in service. See, God takes the believer's calling very seriously, and it is our responsibility to walk worthy of that calling. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Dear friends, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ. Yes, we are servants. We are sanctified. We are preserved. But dear friends, don't forget, we are called. Have you recognized the calling of God after salvation upon your life? Do you realize as servants and being sanctified and being preserved in Christ that we're also called? He has a particular plan and purpose for our life. Have we said, Lord, show me the purpose for the life that you have given me in Christ. Help me to have that sweet fellowship with you on a daily basis. Lord, help me to have the peace that passes all understanding in my daily walk. Lord, grant me, give me the liberty that I need to witness and to grow in the Lord. Lord, give me the hope that I need in my life to continue to live for you, that high calling and that life of holiness. Dear friends, what would our world be like if more Christians lived holy lives? Dear friends, Jude's talking about the apostasy in verse 5 that we'll get to in the coming weeks. That applies directly today as the illustration of my introduction I gave you about the church movement. And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and call names. It's the Presbyterian Church. I was shocked. I can't remember which branch because I think they have two or three divisions now. But dear friends, here's what the bottom line is. It's not a denominational headquarters. It's the Word of God that should direct us. The Word of God, nothing else. No directional headquarters, no denominational headquarters, no one else. It's no convention, but the Word of God that should direct and guide our lives. Let's move on. We also know that every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ, number 5, because believers are unique and special. Yes, we are unique and special to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 2, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Once Jude established the fact that believers are servants, he's established the fact as he's writing here that they are sanctified, they are preserved, and they are called. Then he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. You see, dear friend, God loves all people, but those who have come to Christ for forgiveness of their sins hold a very unique and special place in the heart of God. We are unique and special to our Savior. Yes, He loves all people, for God so loved the world, but those that are called, those that have come to Christ, are unique and special to Him. God seeks to bless His own. God's desire is that mercy, peace, and love be multiplied among believers who are faithful to God in His Word. You see, this little epistle concerns the apostasy, as I mentioned, of the last days. The three blessings of mercy, peace, and love are greatly needed by the believer as we contend for the faith. Here, Jude is getting ready to lower the boom in such a way in some areas in reference to the apostasy that is going on. But before he does that, he's reminding them who they are in Christ, letting them know and reminding them that we have mercy and peace and love granted to us by our Savior. Here we see that these three blessings, God's people, we'll look at each of these three, God's people need mercy during times of apostasy. We live in a world today with such madness going around that there's some mercy that is needed. We serve a God who is rich in mercy. He is rich in compassion. In other words, divine favor that He shows upon His children. He exhorts us in His Word to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of grace. Find grace to help in the time of need in Hebrews 4:16. We certainly need mercy when dealing with apostasy. The Bible says that God's people need peace, not just mercy, but peace during the times of apostasy. The Bible says that the ungodly will have no peace. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You see, but as believers, we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding in Philippians 4 and verse 7. You see, one of the ways that we can enjoy peace is to come to, is to keep our hearts fixed on Christ. The book of Isaiah in chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Dear friends, our wonderful Savior that we serve provides and gives, has a unique and special relationship with the Lord. And God's people need mercy during these times of apostasy, and he grants that mercy to us. He grants that peace and provides it, but so often we do not go to the available source that we have. We live in a world today of smartphones, technology, AI, and all the good things. And I took the time the other day when thinking about this message and thinking about mercy and peace and love and basically being recharged. I don't know about you, but sometimes I fail to extend mercy. Sometimes I fail to extend love the way I should. But he, because of the unique relationship I have and because I'm special with the Lord, and I say I, you are too, we are, God provides the mercy, peace, and love that we need as we need it. Back to our smartphones and the technology we have today. Just about anywhere you go today, as long as you have that little cord that comes with your iPhone, you can find a place to plug in and charge your battery. On the airplane, in the seat in front of you. At the airport, one of the seats you're sitting in probably has something nearby. Some of the coffee shops has a bench with little plugs that you can plug in. I mean, there's so many different places you can go to that have these little iPhone or technology bars where you can just plug in. And we are so conscious, and with our, so many people, well, we, more than we should be, about making sure that our battery is charged. We can even set the setting on our watches and on our phones that will tell us in the upper right-hand corner of most phones that tells you which percentage your battery's at. It will tell you when you're getting a little low that you could gives you an option to put on the power save mode. So none of the refreshing goes on, so your battery will last a little longer so you can find that place to plug in your cord to charge your phone. Folks, I don't know about you, but how often do we not take advantage of the power source that God provides us? All we don't have to look for a place to plug in. All we have to do is say, "Lord, we've got his attention." All we have to do is say, "Lord," and we're plugged into the power source. He'll provide the love, the peace, and the joy that we need when we need it. And dear friends, let me tell you, I needed a little more compassion, mercy, when I read that article this morning. Man, I have to be honest with you, it made me mad. It aggravated me. I can't believe where we're at today. Can't believe my dad grew up in the Presbyterian church. Dan Graham, who an old-time Presbyterian preacher in East Tennessee, started about 20 or 30 churches across East Tennessee and parts of Virginia. And many of them have converted now and become either chapels or Baptist churches because of apostasy and things that has changed. I don't want to see that happen any more than it already has. But the Lord has given us a power source if we look to the Word instead of looking to the world to say, well, maybe we need to be more like the world that we might draw more people in. See, it's not the world that draws people to Jesus. It's Jesus that draws people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness. It's holiness. And yes, at times it's peace, it's mercy, and it's grace, all those things in love. But the bottom line is we don't change what God has put in order. We don't rewrite. We don't change. We don't adjust. We don't make exceptions. We take the Word of God for what it is, and we continue on and trust Him to give us the mercy, the peace, the grace, the love that we need as we continue to serve Him instead of trying to be more like the world. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." It doesn't say, draw closer to the world that you might draw them in. No, it says to be separate. We should know there's a distinct difference between the world and worldliness than there is in the house of God. God's people need peace during times of apostasy, but God's people also need love during the time of apostasy. The word for love here is agape. It is Calvary's love. This is the kind of love that is a sacrificial, kind, pure, peaceable, humbling, giving type of love. See, while we must stand strong and unwavering amidst the onslaught of apostasy, we must nonetheless stand with the right attitude. Paul said, speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. I think I've said this before, and it's a good place to say it again. There's no doubt in my mind when I got out of line growing up as a little boy, when my dad had to discipline me, he said, son, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it's going to hurt you. I never believed him until I became a dad. But it was love. It was love. And that's why the Holy Spirit convicts us, Christians, when we do wrong. It's out of love and compassion for us. Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Dear friends, we are to love others as Christ loves us, but that doesn't mean we water down the word. It doesn't mean we necessarily lighten a blow too much. We need to be careful. I've already made a mistake in my message this morning. I used the word mistake when I should have said sin earlier. It's sin. It's wrong. It's unrighteous. It's not holy. God hates sin. He loves the sinner, and we are to hate the sin and love the sinner. And God gives us what we need. He gives us the grace, the peace, the compassion, to love, to be able to do it. But dear friends, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship as servants, and because we are sanctified, because we are preserved, and because we are called, and because we are unique and special to Him, we should live like we know it. We should live in such a way knowing that I am preserved, I am kept in Christ, I can have the complete confidence living in this apostate world to speak the truth. I wonder how many people, when they had that denominational headquarters meeting and decided and had the discussion of whether a relationship between a pastor and his leading his sheep, whether it should be pure or not. Folks, that's an oxymoron. It doesn't go together. Righteousness and purity is above all. We don't make exceptions. We don't look at the Word of God. It blows me away to think they take that verse and say they have to be the husband and one wife, but they don't. Doesn't say whether it's a man or a woman. My Bible says that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. There's a distinct difference, but yet we're changing things. We're watering down the Word because we want to get more people in. Don't misunderstand me. I would love to be able to look out and not be able to see a green seat because someone is sitting in every single seat, but not at the cost of the purity of the Word of God. No way, no how. That's not acceptable. That is not what God designed. And God has provided for this church here in Goodyear, Arizona. He has provided and met our needs. He's allowed us to give generously to missions, to do what we can within our community, to love one another, to train the little ones that God brings to us, and the adults to disciple, to mentor, and encourage, and to preach the truth without apology. And God has met our needs. Dear friends, there's a lot of churches with a whole lot more people than we have doing a whole lot less for God. See, it's not the quantity of the people, it's the quality of the people. Do we want to stay preserved? Do we want to live righteous and holy before a loving God? Jude warns them, and again, he's getting ready to lower the boom when he gets to verse 5, and we'll get there a little later, but he's reminding them, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and their brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved. He said, you're secure in Jesus Christ. You're called unto Him. You're called unto salvation, unto service. And he says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. And he's getting them ready to understand you need to live that out. But there's coming some things that have surfaced in the church that we'll talk about in the coming weeks. He says we need to stand against that apostasy. And we can do it in mercy, in peace, and love. Because God's going to give us the mercy, the peace, the love, the strength that we need to stand against apostasy. We need more Christians today. We need more servants today in the house of God, in the ministry of God, willing to take the bumps and the bruises that they need to, spiritually speaking, to serve the Lord. But yet we live in a world today that I'm afraid too many Christians have become worldly and they're more concerned about this cancel culture of somebody unliking them on Facebook or unliking them on social media. And they're so worried that they have compromised some of their beliefs, or they have stepped back and not said anything instead of speaking out. Here's what I think we need. And Brother Hunt's not with us this morning, but if he was, I said, Brother Hunt, this just came to me. Baseball season is getting started, and won't be long we'll be talking about football. And there's some things about football that I really enjoy, the game of football. There's several reasons, but one in particular that I really like. They've changed the game a little bit, and they have it in college, but they have it in professional football. But when they kick off and they kick the ball downfield, those 10 players plus the kicker, they run full speed toward the ball. Risking, if you think about it. Yeah, they've got a helmet. They've got pads on. But they run risking limb and body and contact all out with the aim of whoever has that ball is going to be on the ground. No thought of their own protection, no thought of anything else, but they're running wide open to get the ball, to make sure that that guy doesn't return. Same way with a punt return. They're going all out for the sole purpose of making sure that whoever catches that ball is on the ground. Dear friends, we don't have to worry because we're unique and special. When we go out to serve the Lord, we should go with full gusto, wide open. We shouldn't have a fear. We have the helmet of salvation. Boy, it's another message here. The helmet. We have all of that God has equipped us with. We should not be watering things down. Could you imagine a kickoff where the guys are running down, just kind of tiptoeing around and going around, making sure I don't get hit. I'm going to stay out of his way. What kind of game would that be? But here's the problem. We got too many Christians prancing around, afraid of what somebody may think or say, instead of just going right toward it. Okay, Lord, I may have to live in this world today. I know you'll give me the peace, the mercy, the grace, the love that I need. I need to go forward. Though I live in a world of apostasy, I am unique and special because I'm a child of God. I am sanctified. I have been called. I belong to you. I am a unique and special individual, and God has equipped me with what he knows that I need to be effective in reaching those that I minister to and with and work with and see on a daily basis. But yet so often we approach the things of the world timidly. We don't want to offend. Don't misunderstand me. It's not what you say. So often it's how we say it. But say it in love. But say, the Bible says. Or, no, I don't agree because. Folks will figure out real quick that, oh, he's one of those born-again believers, and they'll make their merry way away. But if they're interested, wouldn't you think someone who's seeking the truth would want to talk to someone who is living it? How many people out there that are seeking the truth and their problem is they haven't found anyone who's really living it? In other words, they live it sometimes toward the weekend when they ask somebody if they want to go to church with them, but they sure don't act like it or live it during the work week. We have so many people today that are looking and seeking the truth. They need to see more Christians who realize they are unique. They are special in Christ. They know they're saved. They know they're sanctified. They know that God can and will use them and willing to go right into the depths of this apostate world and live out loud for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist will make her way. The piano will have a verse of invitation in a moment. Jude the servant. Dear friends, there's no doubt, and I know you've heard me preach, and there's some repeat in some of our epistles, because our writers know that we need to be told and retold. But dear friends, do you realize, as a believer, that you're a servant? The heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist will begin playing as soon as she's ready. I just want to simply challenge you and remind you before we close. Take that sanctification that we talked about last week that Christ has secured you with and be the servant that God would have you to be. Count on that preservation that he has given you Count on that calling that He's put in your life. And you move forward as a unique and special child of God and witness and reach out and live for Christ. Charge the masses, charge the apostate world that we live in and say, Lord, use me to make a difference. Father, you know the needs are represented this morning and folks are coming to pray. Others may need to. But Father, I pray that sweet Holy Spirit to work in the midst of your people this morning. Lord, I pray there's anyone here today that's been struggling with their Christian faith would just come to you and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to live the way I should. Maybe there's one here today that doesn't know about eternal life. They're not sure that they're saved. Maybe they'll come this morning and want to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us all to reevaluate our walk and how bold we are. Help us to be reminded how unique and special we are to the Savior. And Father, help us to live boldly in this apostate world that we live in. Unapologetically, hard charging for the Lord Jesus. As our pianos continue to play this morning, the Lord has spoken to your hearts. There where you stand, here at the front row, or here at the altar praying, whatever the Lord leads you, but you do business with the Lord this morning. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. As always, remember that God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Next week, we'll go on to verse 3 and talk a little bit more about contending for the faith. And dear friends, it is contending. It is contention, says time. But God gives us the ability of what we need, when we need it, at the right moment, if we're willing to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to open my mouth if you'll fill it. And just remember, we are very unique and special people to our Lord.